Time for another QuackCast, the Revenant edition. This is number 232 and is called Boosting, What to Do. Captain, the immune system is boosted and I don't know what to do. Mr. Scott, Starship Enterprise. I think he said boosted. It might be one of those bacon beer can examples. It is cold and flu season and there are no end of suggestions that one should boost their immune system. There are 2 million hits on the Googles for the phrase boost immune system. Everyone from the Cleveland Clinic to the New York Times to your neighborhood naturopath has suggestions. The options for boosting rival the number of stars in the sky, which are not that many, but still a fair number. Foods, supplements, minerals, sleep, exercise, stress, and more. But what does boost actually mean? I have discussed this issue at least once upon a time, but few people have the wisdom or foolishness to go back and look up the old QuackCasts. Their loss. Although I will note that my science-based medicine writings are collected in Flies in the Ointment, a book available on Amazon and at your favorite independent bookseller. I mean, what is the point of having a podcast if you can't pimp yourself? First, a caveat. For those who are stumbling upon this podcast for the first time, I am not an immunologist. I was an infectious disease doctor for 36 years, and most of my experience with the immune system concerned the consequences of when there was too little immune system, AIDS, chemotherapy, steroid use, etc., or too much, autoimmune disease, cytokine storms with sepsis, etc. My understanding of immunity is practical. I am more like a mechanic who understands how cars function and how to repair them, but only as a basic understanding of, say, the metallurgy that goes into the construction or the steps necessary to produce gasoline. It is a metaphor I hope to beat to death. So how does one boost the immune system? It seems the concept is to make the immune system stronger than its baseline, to pump it up like Arnold as if the immune system were a muscle. Or maybe an Elvis reference would be better. Quote, down at the pleasure center, hell bent or heaven sent, listen to the propaganda, listen to the latest slander. There's nothing underhanded she wouldn't understand. Pump it up until you can feel it. Pump it up when you don't really need it. That was such a great album. And I don't hear any theft by Olivia Rodrigo. But I digress, as usual. Make the immune system bigger, stronger, faster, more responsive? That sounds great. And there are all sorts of supplements that say they can do that to at least one part of the body. Or am I oversharing? Anyway, I would love to be able to improve many parts of me. But is that possible? Muscles can, with work and time, get larger and stronger. Most other parts, maybe not so much. First, though, what is the immune system? It is a clutch of physiologic process that mostly keep us from being consumed by the tremendous number of microorganisms in the world. I once counted around 1,200 organisms, viri, bacteria, fungi, parasites, that I needed to know for my job. Others have counted a few more, quote, approximately 1,400 known species of human pathogens, including viruses, bacteria, fungi, protozoa, and helminths. But 1,400 rounds to zero when you include all the microorganisms on the planet. Depending on who's counting, there are around 2 million to a trillion bacterial species. That's quite a range. Maybe 10 to the 7th to 10 to the 9th viruses, of which perhaps 320,000 can infect mammals. Upwards of 6 million fungi. A paltry 75,000 to 300,000 helminths. Although I don't think that includes the helminth under the city of Sunnydale. All of these microorganisms are kept at bay in part by the immune system. Many, such as the viri, haven't evolved to infect humans. Yet. And using humans as a reproductive strategy is apparently not a very good one, given the relative scarcity of human pathogens. Most of that is due to our core body temperature, as it is the rare organism that can grow at 98.4, much less 101 or 102. That would be Fahrenheit. Even few can grow at 102 centigrade, the girl with all the gifts or the last of us notwithstanding. What is this immune system? Well, it depends on whether you are a lumper or a splitter, and if you want to include the specific or non-specific functions. I tend towards the splitter and non-specific end of the spectrum. Let's see if I can list them all. I have no doubt I will forget something. There is the complement system with 33 proteins and 3 pathways by which it can be activated, depending on the pathogen. There are antibodies, 5 classes and 9 subclasses with different sites of action and specificity. There are the white cells, PMNs, lymphocytes, 3 kinds of T cells, 2 kinds of B cells, and, with my favorite name, natural killer cells, courtesy of Oliver Stone, monocytes, basophils, and eosinophils, each with their own function. The toll-like system, of which there are 15 proteins. I like how it was named. Quote, "It was named after Christiane Nusslin-Volhard's 1985 exclamation, 'Das ist ja toll, that's amazing,' in reference to the underdeveloped ventral portion of a fruit fly larva. That suggests either she is easily amused or that the Wikipedia is failing to provide some key piece of information as to just why the development of the ventral portion of a fruit fly larva was so amazing." The hint is, by the way, that, quote, it, the toll system, was known for its developmental function in embryogenesis by establishing the dorsal ventral axis. There are a variety of nonspecific proteins, such as mannose binding lectin and its activation pathway, that also help capture and kill microorganisms. There is an ever-growing list of dozens and dozens of regulatory proteins, cytokines and chemokines and the like. And then there are the non-specific barriers to infection, being warmer than room temperature, intact skin, the microbiome, and being nutritionally replete in proteins and vitamins. Quite the hodgepodge of redundant and interlocking systems to keep the microbiological world and the occasional cancer at bay. Some parts of the system are better at combating viruses, others for encapsulated bacteria, others for parasites. None of the immune system seems worth a damn for some infections. Ebola, MRSA, C. septicum come to mind as examples. It is unlikely that your immune system functions the same as mine. Small changes in amino acids, polymorphisms, make you different than me, sometimes with a better response to a specific infection, and sometimes a worser response. Yes, worser. Whether you live or die from a given pathogen may depend on a single amino acid. My personal favorite is snot. If you have the wrong kind, you can die from meningococcal infections. Considering the above list, what exactly are you boosting when you pay good money for an herb or a vitamin or some other nostrum that is allegedly boosting your immune system? Nothing I can think of. The concept, metaphorically, doesn't work. I like to think of the immune system more like an automobile. I told you I would beat this metaphor to death. A large number of interconnecting moving parts propelling your consciousness through a sewer of microorganisms. This is especially true if you live in, fill in your own location here. You are not going to make complement, well, more complementary, or antibodies behave more antibodily, or make white cells more efficient in killing and eating their organisms. The problem is that the immune system under these circumstances is nebulous, not a concrete concept that can't be quantified in an individual to determine the risk of infection. Sure, poor sleep, lousy diet, no exercise all lead to a general increase in the risk for an infection, but not everyone every time. I remember in med school we had to total up the total number of stressors in our life and give them points. I should have been dead given my score. I felt just fine. The average immune system is more like a car that needs tuning back to factory conditions. It needs to be optimized within reason. Unfortunately, for most folks, that car resembles the 1971 Ford Pinto. Kind of limited what can be done with that heap, given the desultory way most are maintained. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear by eating blueberries or taking echinacea or whatever diet or supplement is suggested. If there is an intervention that leads to an immune system that functions better than its evolved optimum and has clinically observable effects, I can't find it. As I like to say about so much of scam, it is all sound and fury signifying nothing, the tale told by an idiot. As best I can tell, the only way to boost the immune system would be to give a vaccine, you know, a booster, hence the name. A booster will boost your antibody levels, so will being re-exposed to the organism, but that hardly seems worth it. And as I think about it, the odd pleomorphic effects of the BCG vaccine. Outside of that, optimizing, not boosting, the immune system requires everything you learned in second grade to stay healthy. Good diet, rest, exercise, avoid tobacco, and excessive alcohol. All the things no one seems to be able to do. Hence, I suppose, the hope for a simple solution to a complex behavioral problem. Let's say you are not in the mood or unable to do the simple things to keep the immune system optimized. A proper diet, whatever the hell that might be, since everything you eat causes cancer. A good night's sleep, regular exercise. Give me a break. I'm busy. It's too hard. I would rather go with an alternative intervention. And all the scams suggest that yes, you can boost your immune system. There are so many websites, I will just touch on a few representative examples. Chiropractic? You bet. 1.7 million hits on the Googles, and it is way impressive. Quote, the chiropractic patients were found to have a 200% greater immune competence than those people who had not received chiropractic care, and they had 400% greater immune competence than those people with cancer and other serious diseases. The immune system superiority of those under chiropractic care did not appear to diminish with age. Although, if those results are published in the peer-reviewed literature, it ain't on PubMeds. Others note concerning the immune-boosting effects of chiropractic, quote, Neil confirmed that spinal adjustments are associated with a central anti-inflammatory response. Now, I hate to be picky, but anti-inflammatory effects are, to my understanding, part of suppressing, not boosting, immune function. But I would not expect logical, consistent thinking from chiropractors. During COVID, well, it's still during COVID, the claims that chiropractic spinal manipulation could help the immune system were evaluated and found wanting. The International Chiropractors Association provided no valid clinical scientific evidence that chiropractic care can impact the immune system. I was shocked to read that. And in Canada, quote, chiropractors were told to remove posts claiming their methods boost immune system and prevent COVID-19. There's no scientific evidence that chiropractic care can boost immune system. My search of the PubMeds finds no compelling studies of chiropractic doing anything one way or the other to the immune system. A case where the absence of evidence really is evidence of absence, I suppose. Okay. Chiropractic seems to be a dead end for getting my immune system boosted. Acupuncture? That ancient modality? Of course. 2.8 million hits on the Googles on boosting the immune system. Similarly, there are a large number of PubMed hits as well, around 1,500, although those mostly concern anti-inflammatory, aka immune-suppressing, effects of acupuncture. If there are clinical studies to show the benefit of acupuncture in preventing infections, my Google foo is off. Most of the reports concern giving patients infection from the process of acupuncture. So acupuncture is not so immune boosting under those circumstances. The one review I found on the use of acupuncture for the prevention of infection, I suppose a surrogate for boosting the immune system, was the usual word salad gibberish that marks most scams, and particularly traditional Chinese pseudo-medicine. Quote, according to the occurrence and development of infectious diseases, ancient Chinese doctors established the theory of Wei, Qi, Yin, Zhu system to treat infectious diseases dialectically, and divided the development process into various syndromes such as Wei Fen, Qi Fen, and Yang Fen, and Zhu Fen in order to reveal the evolvement of these diseases from the slight to severe stages. Personally, I prefer my infections to be treated with antibiotics rather than dialectically, but that's just me. However, many a practitioner will credit acupuncture with boosting the immune system. As an example, my first Google result, quote, even just one acupuncture visit will make you less susceptible to viruses and other pathogens. For starters, acupuncture strengthens a weakened immune system by increasing the production of red and white cells and T cells. Reference 1. It does. So I went to the reference, which I could only access the abstract, although it was paid for with our tax dollars. Quote, the anticipation of acupuncture, simple insertion of needles, or electrical stimulation of needles at both classical acupuncture points and false points, all produce an increase in white cell count. Electrostimulation produced the greatest expectation of needle insertion, the least increase in white cell count. Though needles remain to place, the white cell count returns to basal level within an hour. So not impressed. Pain and stress will transiently increase a white count, be it at real or false acupuncture points, which is what likely occurred here. Getting stuck with needles is probably a little anxiety-provoking. The further you go down the rat hole, the worse it gets. Two sites suggest immune-boosting acupressure for cold and flu prevention. Each suggests different acupoints. So which acupoints should I use? But of course the acupressure points are different. Why would I expect consistency in non-traditional Chinese pseudo-medicine? How about homeopathy? Of course. 5 million hits. Who knew water could be so powerful? Homeopaths have a variety of nostrums that purport to enhance immune function, although like acupuncture, the more focus is on anti-inflammatory effects, of which there are none. Looking through the PubMeds, I can find nothing to suggest a beneficial effect on homeopathy on immune system. Except, as I am sure you are aware, quote, a previous mathematical model described the VF as a quantized gyroscopic wave function equating strength of symptom expression to a degree of VF gyroscopic precession. Diseases and homeopathic remedies were interpreted respectively as breaking and accelerating torques on VF angular momentum. In this paper, approximations if applied to the VF wave function could provide insights into why conventional medicine dismisses the action of highly potentiized homeopathic remedies. In addition, a simple geometric force diagram provides another mathematical model for allopathic drug action and immune system reaction. Really, what kind of dressing do you use with that word salad? Of course, naturopaths are all about immune boosting, 3.7 million hits, but of course it is natural boosting. As best I can tell, virtually everything and anything from bone broth to sunshine can be immune boosting. It is a miracle that anyone needs immune boosting given the ubiquity of boosting interventions. I imagine naturopathic boosters work best in conjunction with a credit card transaction being approved. But pick a scam, any scam. Search the Googles with immune boosting. You'll get hits. So what is a poor person to do with so many options? Nothing really. Save your time and money and stick with the classics. But really, you do not want your immune system boosted. In the biz, we call that an inflammatory response. And while good for killing infections, it is not without risk. Every process has its downsides, including the inflammatory response. Newton's second law of physiology, I guess. For every beneficial action, there is an equal and opposite adverse reaction. Acute and chronic inflammation are associated with a variety of bad outcomes, from clot to dementia. I would suggest that the immune system has evolved to be more or less in the needed sweet spot and should be left to its own devices. So, is there a natural experiment where the immune system is chronically upregulated? Maybe. It has been posited that obesity is a leftover complication of an evolved response to tuberculosis in pregnancy. The two states do have some physiologic similarities, and obesity, like pregnancy, is protective against tuberculosis and perhaps other infections. It is a messy literature. And we are all aware of the physiologic downsides of obesity. Boosting the immune system, upregulating it, could potentially have the same dire effects. But at least you would not get consumption. I would suggest that the downsides of a boosted immune system and obesity outweigh, I did not realize the pun when I first wrote this, at least in modern times, the risks of tuberculosis. So leave your immune system alone. It has evolved to be more or less optimized. If you want to correct your polymorphisms with a little CRISPR, be my guest. And if you could boost the immune system, which you can't, beware. No good deed ever goes unpunished. And that is the QuackCast 232. References are available at the Science-Based Medicine blog entry of the same title, Boosting What to Do, from September 16th, 2024. And to further pimp myself, don't forget you can buy Skeptics in the Pub, Cholera, at Amazon or your local neighborhood independent bookseller, my first novel. Much better than Ambien if you're having trouble sleeping. Talk to you next time. Bye.